Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thereafter, you should meditate upon the limbs of Vishnu, one after another, without being deviated from the conception of the complete body. Thus the mind becomes free from all sense objects. There should be no other thing to be thought upon. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is the ultimate truth, the mind becomes completely reconciled in Him only. Purport. Foolish persons, bewildered by the external energy of Vishnu, do not know that the ultimate goal of the progressive search after happiness is to get in touch directly with Lord Vishnu, the Personality of Godhead. Vishnu Tattva is an unlimited expansion of different transcendental forms of the Personality of Godhead, and the supreme or original form of Vishnu Tattva is Govinda or Lord Krishna, the supreme cause of all causes. Therefore, thinking of Vishnu or meditating upon the transcendental form of Vishnu, specifically upon Lord Krishna, is the last word on the subject of meditation. This meditation may be begun from the lotus feet of the Lord. One should not, however, forget to be misled from the complete form of the Lord. Thus, one should practice thinking of the different parts of the transcendental body one after another. Here in this verse, it is definitely assured that the Supreme Lord is not impersonal. He is a person, but His body is different from those of conditioned persons like us. Otherwise, meditation beginning with pranava, omkara, up to the limbs of the personal body of Vishnu would not have been recommended by Sukadeva Goswami for the attainment of complete spiritual perfection. The Vishnu forms of worship in great temples of India are not, therefore, arrangements of idol worship, as they are wrongly interpreted by a class of men with a poor fund of knowledge. Rather, they are different spiritual centres of meditation on the transcendental limbs of the body of Vishnu. The worshipable deity in the temple of Vishnu is identical with Lord Vishnu by the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Therefore, a neophyte's concentration or meditation upon the limbs of Vishnu in the temple, as contemplated in the revealed scriptures, is an easy opportunity for meditation for persons who are unable to sit down tightly at one place and then concentrate upon pranava, omkara, or the limbs of the body of Vishnu, as recommended herein by Shukadeva Goswami, the great authority. The common man can benefit more by meditating on the form of Vishnu in the temple than on the omkara. The spiritual combination of Om is explained before. There is no difference between Omkara and the forms of Vishnu, but persons unacquainted with the science of absolute truth try to create dissension by differentiating between the forms of Vishnu and that of Omkara. Here it is indicated that the Vishnu form is the ultimate goal of meditation, and as such it is better to concentrate upon forms of Vishnu than on impersonal omkara. The latter process is also more difficult than the former. Tratra kaiva yavam jayed avyuchanena chetasa mano nirvishaya yuktva tatakinchanana smaret padam tat paramam vishnor mano yatra prasidati. Therefore, you should meditate upon the limbs of Vishnu one after another without being deviated from the conception of the complete body. Thus, the mind becomes free from all sense objects. There should be no other thing to be thought of. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is the ultimate truth, the mind becomes completely reconciled in Him only. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The last time I gave class was on an Ekadasi, today's Ekadasi. And the last time I was just giving class because someone cancelled, seemed again today. So I'll send our good wishes to Doya Baladev Prabhu, who was supposed to be giving class. Ekadasi is like, it's a multiplier. Any devotional service performed on Ekadasi is of greater value. Pleases Krishna even more. Inconceivable. I noticed one of my Harinam colleagues, Vasudev Prabhu, he's very committed to Ekadasi. So he always tries to arrange Harinams on Ekadasi. I think I have a slightly different concept. He kind of, even if it's raining, he'll probably arrange a Harinam because it's Ekadasi. And I'm like, no, just do a sunny day and, you know, chant more japa on Ekadasi. Anyway. And it said, Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani. The holy times like Janmashtami and Ekadasi are the mother Janani, the mother of devotion. So we have to be very diligent in observing Ekadasi. It said, Vishayera Ana Koila Dushtahoy Mana. That if we take foodstuffs from a Vishayi, a sense enjoyer, then the mind becomes contaminated. So very much part of the process of Krishna consciousness is making sure that we eat the right foodstuff, because that way our mind will be pure. And if our mind is pure, then we can actually meditate on Vishnu or Krishna. Of course, the same thing, Vishnu Tattva. And in the purport, it is mentioned there are unlimited incarnations of Vishnu. Who knows the verse? It's a verse that states this, first canto, third chapter, I think. It goes, Avatara Yashankya Harer Sattvanide Dvijaha. That there is an ocean, Niti, an ocean of Sattva. It must be transcendental goodness. And from that ocean of Sattva, unlimited avatars are manifested. Avatara Hyashankya. And in one sense, it doesn't matter. Siddhantatas Tavidipi Srisha Krishna Svarupayo Rasinot Krishna Teo Krishna Rupam Esha Rasastadihi. From the point of view of Siddhanta, Vishnu and Krishna are the same. But from the point of view of Rasa, Krishna is supreme. So Prabhupada says the last word in meditation is to meditate on Krishna. Although Vishnu was being discussed, meditating on Krishna. Vishnu is in the verse, the Sanskrit. If you look at the second last line, you'll see Vishnur. But Prabhupada says the last word of meditation is to meditate on the form of Krishna. Now, it's very difficult to meditate. I don't know about you, but I find it very difficult to meditate on the form of the Lord. And I do confess, when the curtains open, I sometimes very distracted. Sometimes I walk out of the temple and I think, what were their lordships wearing? And I think, oh, I can't remember now. So what was I doing? I was standing there and I wasn't thinking. I just wasn't conscious, you know. Now, as I said, Manda Sumanda Matayor, Manda Bhagya Hupadruta. In this age of Kali, we're disturbed. So I've got a disturbed mind. So I need another medicine, another type of medicine. I can't even meditate nicely on the Lord. I cannot sit down and meditate on the limbs of the Lord. So I meditate on the holy name. Well, at least I try to. And I do it loudly, because the louder it is, the more effect it will have on my consciousness. And that's a nice process. If you're in a loud kirtan, doesn't matter what else is going on, you just, because of the volume of the holy name, it's very powerful and it's easy to meditate upon, because it's right there in front of you, right? So it said, smartavya saradam vishnor vish smartavyona jatuchit sarva vidinis sedayor etayor eva kinkaraha. All we have to do is always remember Krishna and never forget him. It's interesting that we don't want to change that verse, right? We don't say smartavya satatam Krishna. But we did change Vishnu Bhakti Pradidevi to Krishna Bhakti Pradidevi. It was discussed in a class a few weeks ago, Chandramouli Swami. And at the time, Priyojana had shown me the Prabhupada Shikshamrita, where there's the actual paper version. It has Krishna Bhakti. He used this as evidence, so I quoted it in the class. But after a group of us did some further research, and Priyojana, he did the further research. He got the original letter, the draft. We have a photocopy of it, and it is Vishnu Bhakti. So I think some naughty, naughty devotee decided to change Vishnu Bhakti to Krishna Bhakti in the Prabhupada Shikshamrita, which is very misleading, because for a while we were thinking, okay, maybe both are okay. Now we're not sure, and what's what. But apparently, according to Chandramouli Swami, Vishnu Bhakti, we don't change scripture. After all, Vishnu means Krishna. We don't need to change it. Anyway, just thought I'd put that in, because it was one of those little research jobs. So here's an interesting verse. We're discussing Om. Now, Om's an interesting word, because it's broad. It's like the word Brahma or Brahman. Brahman means Krishna. Brahman means the impersonal Brahman. Brahman has a lot of meanings. But when you say Krishna, well, you've narrowed down the meanings. And the same with Om. Om can mean the impersonal feature of the Supreme. It can also mean Krishna. So Jiva Goswami, he says, Akare nochate Krishna. Who knows what that means? What does the word kara mean? Om kara means the syllable om. What does a kara mean? The syllable a. So a means om, as the word om. As I was reading om in the purport, and I didn't know how to read it because it was a-u-m. I wasn't sure whether to just say om or say a um. I wanted to distinguish between the two, which of course you can't do when you're just reading a purport. But akara means Krishna. Sarva lokaika nayakaha. Jiva Goswami says, akare nochate Krishna, sarva lokaika nayaka. He is the master of all loka. What does the word loka mean? Give me two meanings, please. Is it planets and people? So he's the master of both. He's the master of all people and the master of all planets. Sarva lokaika nayaka. Ukare nochate radha. The word the syllable u, ukara means radha, and ma karo jiva vachakaha. The ma means the jiva. So, a nice meditation. If we see om, we can think of Radha, Krishna, and the jivas, and all the jivas are serving Radha Krishna. It's a very nice devotional concept of om. And of course, the Bhagavad Gita states if you chant omkara at the time of death, and you're meditating on Krishna, you go back to the spiritual world. But remember to meditate on Krishna. We're not against Om. Om is Krishna. Okay, it's just what we meditate on. So that's some considerations. Oops. So the verse is discussing about giving up. Let me see. Becoming free from sense objects. So it's interesting, when I read this, I was thinking, you know, this process is very, very easy, very, very powerful. At least we read that when we read scripture. We read of other yugas where meditating for thousands of years, trying to control the senses through Ashtanga yoga. And in comparison, what we have is very easy. But what's the problem? Even though it's very easy, we still want it to be even easier. And the problem is, at some point you have to draw the line and say, no, we're not going to make it easier. It's just, this is what it is, and this is what you're going to have to do. I like this one comment Ayendra Prabhu once said. He goes, the holy name will deliver you. You will get Krishna Prema, but there's one condition. What did they say? You have to actually chant it. We come to the Hare Krishna movement and we're like, I want to be delivered, but I don't really want to chant Hare Krishna. Well, sorry, but we have to do something, you know. Anyway, so today's we're doing some more of the 125 suburbs of London. So if anyone's free, we're going to go to High Barnet, and we're going to work our way down the Northern Line to Finchley, Central Finchley, other parts in that area. We'll probably merge several stops together and just go down the high street, whatever. So this is a very nice process to do, especially on Ekadasi, as I mentioned before. And I was going to take Doi Baladev and Srinivas Prabhu's, but I'm not sure now, because both of them are probably not in the best of health. So I've got four seats in my car. If anyone wants to come for a half day, I have to come back for about... Pardon? Say again? Today, yes, Thursday. It's a half... I'm coming back for about 2:30, so if anyone's free, but I know a lot of people will be breaking down the festival, so... But anyway, I'm just throwing it out there in case anyone's free. It's nice to get a little group, especially when you've got a small group. A few extra people make a big difference. Anyway. So, we were discussing about controlling the senses. I remember one devotee told me, he said, I want to go back to the spiritual world, but I want to stop off in the heavenly planets first. Yeah, I know what you mean. So this is the problem. We're actually following, Prabhupada said this is Navritti Marg, what we follow. We're not here for material enjoyment. So, but it's like if you want to get enjoyment, you have to pay for it. even like heavenly planets, you've got to do your punya if you want to enjoy heavenly delights. But if you look at the way the creation's set up, there's higher pleasures than the heavenly planets. You go to places like Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka. They're aware that these are places where the sages are meditating, Siddhaloka. And they are controlled. They are not interested in sense enjoyment. And their standard of happiness is even higher. And you go to the topmost level, you'll get to the platform of Brahmaloka. Lord Brahma's happiness is intellectual. He said, anywhere in this mature world, it's all sex life. But it takes different forms. It can be gross sex life on this planet. It can be like visual. Demigods, sex life is more visual. It's more subtle. But for Lord Brahma, it's an intellectual thing. It's like you can enjoy the intellect as an obstacle. You can be too clever to be Krishna conscious. Some people are so attached to their intelligence, it's difficult for them to surrender. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir Eda Mada Eda Mana Mada Puman Naiva Hartja Bidatumbai Tvam Makinchana Gochara. You will become intoxicated by good birth, Janma Aishvarya, wealth. Shruti, Shruta means what? Learning. Shri, beauty. You have these things in abundance, it's very difficult to surrender. So Prabhupada would often quote Prahlad Maharaj, Tadjano Bhagavati Vidaditamanam Tadjatmani Pratimukasya Yatamukha Shri. Whatever worship you give to the Lord, it will reflect on you. Just like if you decorate your face, then your reflection will become beautiful. So the way devotees become beautiful is through their service to the Lord. And a beautiful devotee. Now, have you ever seen Prabhupada smile? People say it's oceanic, it was so beautiful. But stop for a minute, look at his teeth. There were like a few missing bits, a bit of gold there. Didn't look nice from one perspective. But he was beautiful by his service to Krishna. So Prabhupada said, we don't decorate ourselves. We decorate Krishna and then we become beautiful. That's how we become beautiful. We decorate the real. We're like the reflection. We decorate Krishna and automatically we become beautiful. So let's talk about how to control the senses, because this is the problem. This is what the obstacle that is stopping us from meditating upon Krishna. So it's one example is Ambarish Maharaj, 9th canto. So I've got the verse here. 3 verses in a row. And this is all about how to engage the working senses and the knowledge acquiring senses in the service of the Lord. And I'll do it line by line, and I think most of you will know what this means. And if you don't, well, we can go through it. First line, Savai Mana Krishna Padar Vindayar. What does that mean? Engage the mind in meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. Vachangshi Vaikunta Gunanuvarnane. And our words should be in describing the spiritual world. Karau Harir Mandira Marjanadishu. The hands should be engaged in cleaning the temple. Shritim Chakarachuta Satkato Daye. The ears hearing the Krishna Katha. Mukundalingala Yadarshani Drashau. Engage the eyes in seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. So in this world we're challenged so much. We're attracted. We can be attracted to the opposite sex and it pierces our hearts and we get passion. So we could just meditate on the form of the Lord. It's very soothing. It's Shuddha Sattva. And that beautiful vision of the Lord will help us to control our senses. And also the holy name will help us. Cheta Prangana Sangami Vijayate Sarvendriyanam Kritam. And it's said that when the holy name enters the courtyard of the heart, then all the senses, Vijayate, are conquered. So how to conquer the senses? Chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you don't want to do that, there's other ways to get control senses. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Dur dantendriya kala sarpa patale pratkata dangstrayati yat karunya kataksha vaibhavavatam tamgora eva stumaha. If you get the sidelong glance of Gaura, then your senses will be like the broken fangs of a serpent. You want to control your senses, you've got to get in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. This is the famous verse. What is it begin? Anyway. Vishvam Purna Sukhayati Vidimahendra Dista Kitayati. When you have this mercy, then even though you'll be existing in this horrible material world, you'll be in ecstasy. Vishvam Purna Sukhayati. You'll be happy. Prabhupada said he was happy everywhere. One time he went to Australia, and some reporter asked, "How do you like Australia?" And he goes, "I like Australia." And they were all happy. And then he said, "I like everywhere." So the Australian ego was a bit bashed by that. But Vishvam Purna Sakayati, if you have the wealth inside you, Krishna Prema, you know, everywhere is bliss. And Vishvam Purna Sakayati, Vidhi Mahendra Dish Chakitayati. Blasphemy. In Prema, you can even apparently blaspheme the demigods. Vidhi and Mahendra, Lord Brahma and Shiva, they're like insects. Insignificant. Why? Because I've received the sidelong glance of Gaura. And Kaivalyam Narakayati, Tridasapur Akasha Pushpayati. Kaivalyam, very high standard of bliss, but it's like Naraka, means what? Hell, like hell. So how can such a high type of enjoyment be considered hell? Well, because you've got something even higher still. And the heavenly planet, Shakasha Pushpayati, like flowers in the sky, doesn't exist. Just an illusion. So you can see that, you can imagine the great, powerful consciousness of the Premi Bhakta, that he can look at Brahma and Shiva as mere insects, as Brahman, bliss of Brahman as hell. I mean, what wealth did one have in order to turn one's nose up at such high enjoyment and such wonderful people, you know, Vidhi and Mahendra. It's like the wealth of Krishna Prema just defeats everything else. Or as it's said by Rupa Goswami, moksha laguta krit. When you have bhakti, then moksha becomes lagu. It's very minor, just moksha. We're all hankering after alleviation of suffering, but when you have prema, it's just insignificant. So that is the power and the wealth of the prema bhaktas. So there was a mention of idol worship. I'll read the sentence. What does it say? The Vishnu forms of worship in great temples of India are not, therefore, arrangements of idol worship, as they are wrongly interpreted by a class of men with poor fund of knowledge. Which class of men are they referring to? Sometimes the Muslims in India, they sometimes think this way. Not only that, there are the Arya Samaj. They have the Panchopasana. In Indian temples, we worship five forms, you know. What are the five forms? Who knows? Durga is one of them. Durga represents Shakti, the material energy, the scientists. And then we have Saurya. Saurya means the worship of the sun god. That's a higher type of consciousness because it represents the source of the energy. See, scientists, they're bewildered by material energy. It's more intelligent to look to where the energy came from. Look to the source. It's a higher type of knowledge. This is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it. And then higher than that, worship of Ganapatya, the Ganapatyas or Ganapati, they are humanitarian, because Ganapati means, Gana means the Lord of the people, Ganapati. So when we move away from, see, you can be a scientist. I mean, some of the Nazis were great scientists, but look what they did with their science. They just tortured people. It's better to be humanitarian. It's a higher type of knowledge, higher type of consciousness. And higher still than that is the Shaivites. Shaivites have the concept of the jiva. We're now into the realm of the soul. And higher than the Shaivites, the Vaishnavs, they're going not only the soul, but the super soul, connecting yoga. So there's elevation of consciousness according to the Panchopasana. And that's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur described it. And he was very expert at presenting Krishna consciousness to the modern people, the Adunaka Vadis. Adunaka means modern. Remember, the British were brainwashing the Indians. They thought, we will train up some Indian class intelligentsia in our ways of thinking, and it will filter down through society. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he countered that by presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam in a way that was palatable to the modern intellectuals, the Adunakavadis, and Krishna Sangita is the book, the way you can read that, how he describes that way. And he also compared the Dashavatars with the theory of evolution. It's quite interesting how we go from the fish, the invertebrate. I mean, look at Darwin, he will say invertebrates the lower. And then you go from fish to Varaha, you go to the invertebrates and dwarf humans, and then you go to Parashuram, who's like tribal man, like warrior man, then more refined man, Buddha, and so on. There's a gradual it's just a gradual elevation. So if you trace the Das Avatars, you can actually kind of compare it to Darwinian evolution. So presumably that's why he did that, in order to try and give Krishna consciousness to people who've been infected with other doctrines. You know what I mean? So we were talking about idol worship. Now I was talking about the Panchopasana. So there's this phrase in the Bhagavad Gita, philosophical Vishnu. You heard this phrase? Philosophical Vishnu means we worship Vishnu as a means to get to the Brahman, the impersonal. So although Vishnu is one of the Panchopasana, one of the five types of worship, is worshipped in the wrong way with the wrong conception. If you're of an impersonalist perspective, what you're doing is you're thinking they are idols as a means to an end, and through worship of that we'll come to the ultimate truth, which is it's all one, Aham Brahmasmi, right? I am one. Om Namo Narayanaya. I am Narayan, you are Narayan. It's all Narayan. And of course Lord Chaitanya replied, Krishna Matirastu, may you be Krishna conscious. So this is philosophical Vishnu. So idol worship is one of the misconceptions. How's it going? That's a verse from the Padma Purana. Archi Vishnu Shiladi. Yeah. And it goes on, Gurushu Naramati Vaishnavi Jatibudi. And it ends, Yashyava Naraki Saha. You're a resident of hell if you think that the deity is a piece of stone. If the guru is an ordinary person, if the Vaishnav has low birth, like Gargamuni here, he always tells me he came from a low birth. His teachers hated him at school. They kicked him out. They said, you'll be never good for anything. But he was hardworking, so he became very wealthy and had a business for a while. But he wasn't intellectual. So you think, he's not intellectual. But no, and he's Vaishnav. And now he's like getting up early in the morning, and I pick him up and he comes to the temple and he's going to be painting the benches today because he wants everyone, all the Vaishnavas, to have a nice benches to sit on, and he goes out and Harinam, etc. But as he says himself, he doesn't understand the Sanskrit, you know. This is Vaishnava Jatibudi. Do not see Vaishnava according to birth. And one, I will almost conclude, I think I'll leave it for questions but in a minute, but I'll just say one thing, an interesting thing about idol worship. So it's often, I mean, any Buddhist distributor knows if you meet a Muslim, you're going to get into a conversation about idol worship, right? It's just they've got a very straightforward, simple black and white philosophy, very easy to grasp, and they're very committed. And actually, here's my observation. It's the same with Christians. It's about who wins. It's not about winning and losing, but it tends to be the case. A Christian will be so committed to the Bible, or a Muslim will be so committed to the Quran, that the Vaishnava will end up talking about the Bible and the Quran. Prabhupada once said, you don't need to do that. We can talk about Bhagavad Gita. So you should try it the next time with a Christian. But the Bible says, yeah, but the Bhagavad Gita says. But. See, it's totally not fair if you start with two books, Bhagavad Gita, Bible, or Bhagavad Gita, Quran, and then their starting point is the Quran, the Bible, and my interpretation of it, that is correct. And therefore, I'm going to analyze your Gita in terms of that, and that's the starting point. And that's totally ridiculous. You've prejudged the whole thing. If people want to compare, let's compare. Then we can say to them, "Oh, we've read the Bible, we've read the Quran. Have you read the Gita?" And many of them say, "No, we haven't read the Gita." But we have to be careful that the conversation doesn't always end up on their way of thinking. We are like, we accept all those scriptures, but we have a broader interpretation. We're trying to be Udarati, broad conception, means that is true, that is true. Mahaprabhu, what did he say? He said, when he read the Quran, he said, I see Krishna, a blue-formed, well, he didn't say the word Krishna, he said, I see the From the Quran, the meaning I get is the Lord has a form, bluish, blackish complexion. That was his reading of the Quran. So who has the right to interpret scripture? We know the answer to this. We have a lineage, you know, self-realized souls, and they all interpret scripture. And in their tikkas, they become our bread and butter. We want to understand the Bhagavatam. We read the purpose of Srila Prabhupada because he's self-realized. He knows. You know, Bhakcha Bhagavatam Grahyam Nabucha Na Chatikaya. You won't understand it through to intelligence or through studies of commentaries. You'll understand the Bhagavatam through bhakti. Okay? So, going back to the discussing the Muslims, so they will start to say, who is Krishna? And you will see, well, Krishna's God. Does Krishna have a form? Yes, he has a form. Then he cannot be God. God has no form. And they always say this all the time. Or they will say, did Krishna take birth? What do we say? You say yes and no. You know, depends which way you want to look at it. A Jopi, son of Yayatmam. He's a Jopi. A Jopi means a low unborn, but he's still born. Bhagavad Gita. So this is black and white thinking. They cannot understand form and formless simultaneously. They cannot understand what is an idol. See, we agree with them. Yes, we don't worship idols either. What is an idol? An idol is a concoction. What is a deity? Where do deities come from? It's described. The sage meditates with the pure heart. The form of the Lord manifests in the heart. And then it is carved. The deity form is not something concocted. It is received through revelation. Therefore, it is the real form of the Lord. And our reply to these Muslims is, what is your concept of Allah? Whatever concept we have, it's a mental construct. How can you get beyond it? So they have a concept of Allah. It's a mental construct. Therefore, it's an idol. They have a mental idol. And we have no idol. We have the form of the Lord, which is received through pure consciousness. And if we didn't have that, then we would just speculate on what God is. I mean, what do you think of? When I think of infinity, I think of the sky. Okay, so that's a mental construct. The sky is something material that I've seen. And I'm projecting that. I'm thinking that's what the all pervasive. See, when I think of the Brahman, right? I think of a light. I think of a bright light. And I think of just it going on forever. But that's just a mental concoction. I've not actually experienced the Brahman itself. But those that have experienced it, they'll say it's like brighter than a million suns. So I've never experienced anything brighter than a million suns. So I'm stuck. The point being is, without having the form of the Lord to look at, we're going to create, because we're on the mental platform, whatever we think of is an idol, it's a mental concoction. And I tried to explain this to the Muslims, but they do not understand. But anyway, but I had a really nice conversation with one several years ago. We were on a Thursday, Harringham, and he's on Oxford Street, and he started talking to me. And he started trying to preach to me the Quran. And then later on, we went to Leicester Square. And then there was, you know, the Muslims, they have a booth at Leicester Square. And had a long conversation with them. And we were very friendly, because I like to speak to them. And I'm not rude to them. And I get on well with them, I think, at least. And he said something I found very, very interesting. And he said, he was brought up a Hindu. Now he converted to Islam. But then he said, but I'm still conditioned. I cannot eat cow's flesh because of my Hindu upbringing, he said to me. I was thinking, that's interesting. He, even though he doesn't believe it's wrong to eat cows, he just can't do it due to his upbringing. And that's a lesson to us all, that we should understand that whatever children come into this movement, we should be very careful, very meticulous in bringing them up in such a way as to get a proper foundation, because that stays with us for life. Hare Krishna. So I have left 5 minutes left for comments and questions, and I apologize, I just didn't prepare anything, but I didn't embarrass myself. I thought, just my ego's not too hurt. Hare Krishna. Yeah, it's microphone. Thank you.
Hey, Bo. Thank you very much, Prabhu. In terms of interpreting scripture, and you're sort of saying how, you know, that the Muslims will try and judge the Gita based upon their interpretation of the Quran. Now, to what extent can we actually, even we reading Prabhupada's purports, and they seem pretty clear, he says the same things again and whatnot, but we're also still going to interpret them by our own means. If we want to find, you know, if we want to find something, we can find a Prabhupada quote to support it. We can
yes.
find. And there's so many, you know, many in ISKCON, there's many controversial topics and people
yes.
have different opinions. So there's still the scope for us to get from it what we want. So how do we actually move forward towards ultimate truth?
Thank you. Yes. It's a very good question, that, because Prabhupada's purports, they say so many things and you can interpret them so many ways. And I once wrote a list of some of the differences of opinion in the Vaishnava community. Is the earth flat or round, for example? Okay, there's different angles of vision on that. Did the jiva fall from the spiritual world? Did the jiva fall from Brahman? Was the jiva always here? Did it never? And actually, I worked it out. I said, well, I've got about, it's about 900, you know, there's two times three times five, and I worked it out, it's like there's about 900 ways you can kind of, you can interpret a philosophy depending on how you answer these various questions. You just kind of like so many combinations. And I was thinking, so if you're right, you're very, very rare. If you're a very, very rare person, get it all right, you know, if there's one right answer. The thing is this, right, because of the most immature nature, we, our interpretation will be filtered through our, the modes, which is why you need the living Bhagavat. Actually, I'm going to withdraw that term, physically present Bhagavat, better idea. Actually, living Bhagavat is a phrase that Prabhupada used, but I think he used it in a different way than what we think. We think living by meaning in present in a body on this planet, but he would refer to Lord Chaitanya as a living Bhagavat. But what I mean is, like, someone who is living the life of Bhagavat, someone whose heart is so pure that when they read the scripture, they actually see it as it is. Like when, for example, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was describing Vedanta Sutra, and Lord Chaitanya sat in front of him for 7 days, Lord Chaitanya said, like, you know, it's like what you're doing is like clouds in front of the sun. It's very clear. So we have to go to the person for whom the scripture is very clear. And that person has to be, is the person whose consciousness is pure. So there's no way around it. Prabhupada said, very difficult to become self-realized just from reading the books. You should hear from the self-realized person. And that is, so the answer, how do we actually resolve these things? We all search. We're all searching. We're searching for the truth. It can manifest within our hearts. We can read this Bhagavatam, and through service, the Dhammi Buddha Yogam Tam Yena Mama Vyantiti, the Buddha Yoga, Te Sham Satara Yuktaram Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. We try our best to worship the Lord with devotion, and then within the heart, He will manifest, and the truth will come within the heart. I remember Prabhupada memories, there was one devotee saying, I was too busy to read, I was just engaging in service. But when I gave the Bhagavatam class, I said things that I'd never read before, and later on I discovered that it was in the Bhagavatam. And I said, how did I know that? It was like some Buddhi intelligence, Krishna's coming, speaking through the person. The person's like a via media due to the pure service attitude. So that if we have that pure service attitude, then our interpretation will be the correct one. And that pure servant attitude will manifest either as the revelation of the truth, or Krishna will send a pure representative to that person. And then they will hear, it's said in Srimad Bhagavatartanam Asvado Rasikai Saha. One of the five most potent limbs is to hear, relish the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam Rasikai Saha, with those who are Rasika Bhaktas, who are in whose heart all the Vyabhi Chari Bhavs and the Vibhavs are all churning in their pure hearts and they're in ecstasy. You hear from that person, that is real Bhagavatam hearing. So the point is, we're all to a greater or lesser degree stuck inside this material world, and as much as we would like to understand the truth, we are to various degrees unqualified to know that truth. Therefore, we can only try our best through service and hope that Krishna will manifest the truth either through the person or directly from the scripture. Is that okay? Very well. Srinivas Prabhuji, there you go.
There's a quote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's asked,
oh, thank you.
Where can we find a spiritual master?
Yes.
And he says,
please read.
Only the person Lord Krishna sends, only the person Lord Krishna sent us as a spiritual master will manifest before us as our guru. By the Lord's mercy, we attain the spiritual master, and by the spiritual master's mercy, we attain Krishna. We are given a spiritual master according to our fortune. Different people have different mentalities, and the omniscient Lord sends each an appropriate spiritual master. there are those who desire the Lord's non-depreciate mercy and who completely depend on Him for their success. For these souls, please the Lord with a simple sincerity. To bestow His mercy upon them, He appears before them personally. To those who want something else from the Lord, who are not actually aspiring for His complete mercy, the Lord sends through His illusory energy a spiritual master appropriate to their mentality. Mm-hmm. A sincere person never faces difficulty, but quickly finds a bona fide guru.
Thank you very much. Here's an interesting, so we call it almost like an anomaly, an interesting puzzle. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, if you choose a guru by your analysis, that is not real guru. The guru enters your life, the guru reveals himself to you. But then part of the process is pariksha, we're examining. We are blind, and the guru is the seer. We don't see the guru sees us. The guru has knowledge, the guru his eyes are open. We are blind, so if we're blind, how can we see the guru? We can't. But pariksha, we're supposed to study and use our intelligence, God-given intelligence, to study the person to see if the person is bona fide. It's kind of almost a contradiction.
Thank you so much. Just connected to that, I just wonder then if the guru can see, and obviously we're struggling, and so most of the time we're probably trying to make decisions based on our own inference, which is very limited, then what stops the guru from, you know, just being like, hey, I'm here, let me sort things out for you, rather than us having to go through all these struggles.
So I believe it was Gaurav Kishoras, Babaji Maharaj said, I could be wrong, but I know what he said, and someone, either maybe it was Jagannath Das Babaji, anyway, I think it was Gaurav Kishoras, Babaji Maharaj, he said, the saints, they're so special that if you serve them, Krishna comes under your control. Therefore, Krishna is very careful not to reveal them. He doesn't want to give himself that easily. So they're hidden. Aham bhakta pradino yasvatantra iva dvija sadubir grasta hridayo bhaktair bhakta jana priya. The saints, they have captured Krishna. Grasta hridaya, his heart is, when his heart is captured by them. So when Durvasa Muni is trying to get saved by Vishnu, Vishnu says, the Vaishnavas are my heart, you know, you have to get forgiveness from them, otherwise Suras and Chakra will chop off your head, you know. So that's the thing, the sadhus, as a way to become pure, a way to become Krishna conscious, the sadhu is the means, more so even than the Krishna himself, because Krishna doesn't manifest himself, the sadhu, and the Krishna comes under the control of one who, for whom the sadhu is pleased, you know. So it's a secret, and we have to become qualified in order to see the truth. That's one answer. Haribol. Prayojan Prabhu.
I remember Nuruhari Prabhu, you know, Guru Govinda Swami disciple, he mentioned to me about initiation. He said, anybody can get initiation, but he said that you have to find that person that you want to serve, that you want to surrender yourself in such a way that this service to that person is the most important thing, that because of how you relate in terms of wanting to please that person, and and that's usually, you know, by hearing, and it took me 12 years, in fact, to realize, in a sense, that though I experienced that with somebody, they were not initiating, and but they told me that I should go to one of the initiating spiritual masters, and
that you must do it through proper disciplic succession. Mm. And that person even said, look, so many gurus have come and gone, but that doesn't matter. You stay connected to the Guru Parampara. So-called failure, that people see it as, that somebody's fallen down or whatever, is not the thing that we just try and try again. And it's not a case of like shopping. It's that we must maintain our connection to the Guru Parampara system, mm-hmm. and not give up after the first so-called failure or guru that's fallen down. So it's not a case of that. And for me, I feel I've been most fortunate because I was given advice that somehow or other, yes, get a connection, but also this shiksha person who you really feel is your guru must be part of the thing. You can ask that person whether you'll accept this shiksha guru also as your guiding guru. Mm-hmm. There's a condition that you have both, that you have connection to the Guru Parampara, and that you could stay connected to that shiksha guru who you feel surrendered to as well.
Thank you.
You know, so it's a bit complex, I know, but it must be a case of surrender and wanting to serve both, no matter what.
Okay, you're wrong.
Microphone. We hear that the Diksha Guru takes you back to Godhead, but can it be the case that someone may have a Diksha Guru, but actually in fact the person that helps them most evolve to bring them back, as well as the Diksha Guru helping, but person who actually gives more help is actually another Shiksha Guru.
Yeah, well, there's one purport in Prabhupada says that. He says you can advance beyond your Diksha Guru. Like the example of Dhruva Maharaj, he took Shiksha from Narad Muni, so his original guru, and he'd actually... It's a bit subtle because the purport talks about the point we made is definitely our philosophy is that if you take Diksha from someone and then there's some higher Shiksha Guru, then that Shiksha Guru can deliver. And Narad Muni is the example of that in the purport. Because Narad Muni gave higher instruction to Dhruva Maharaj, so Dhruva became purified, ultimately delivered by having that association with Narad Muni. Though Narad Muni was not the first guru for Dhruva, Dhruva's mother was the guru. But anyway, the purport definitely described that, yeah. So, but I've heard it said like the Diksha Guru is the person that takes responsibility.
Yeah.
Right? So but the thing is that Diksha Guru can take responsibility and then say, okay, this Shiksha Guru is going to help you further. So you've done your responsibility. The responsibility is to pass on to someone who's more capable. It can be done.
They could, they can recommend, though, the Diksha Guru may recommend also a Shiksha Guru, isn't it? If they see that this person is going to help them.
Mm-hmm. Goes on, yeah.
It's not like it's one person.
Yeah, I mean, look at the time of Mahaprabhu, right? Mahaprabhu was not a Diksha Guru, so all these Diksha Gurus, but then they were ultimately taking instructions from Mahaprabhu, ultimately, so it happens that way. I want to conclude with just, I was given the example of Ambarish Maharaj, I didn't give all the examples, so I'll just finish quickly with them, talking about how he used his senses in the service of the Lord. So, Tadbritcha Gatra Sparshinga Sangamam means he engaged his body in touching the body of the devotees. Granam Chatatpada Saroja Saurabhi, his his nose, he smelt the incense offered to the Lord, Srimattu Tulasyara Saram Tararpati, and his tongue, he could eat the lotus leaves offered to the Lord's feet. Hare Kshetra Padanu Sarpani, he engaged his legs in doing pilgrimage. Shiro Hrishikesha Padabhi Vandane, his head, he engaged his head by bowing down to the feet of the Lord. Kamam tu tasye na tu kama kamya, and all his desires were engaged in the service of the Lord, not for sense gratification. So that's the example of Ambarish Maharaj, how to engage all your senses in the service of the Lord. Kantranad Srimad Bhagavatam Akija, Srila Prabhupada Akija, and the Tagore Pimanandi Haribo.